We cannot stop the fall. We do not wish to, for empire culture has lost whatever virility and worth it once had. But we can shorten the period of barbarism that must follow, down to a single thousand of years. The ins and outs of that shortening we cannot tell you, just as we could not tell you the truth about the Foundation 50 years ago. Were you to discover those ins and outs, our plan might fail, as it would have had you penetrated the fraud of the encyclopedia earlier. For then, by knowledge, your freedom of action would be expanded, and the number of additional variables introduced would become greater than our psychology could handle. But you won't, for there are no psychologists on Terminus, and never were, but for Alurin. And he was one of us. But this I can tell you. Terminus and its companion foundation at the other end of the galaxy are the seeds of the Renaissance and the future founders of the Second Galactic Empire. And it is the present crisis that is starting Terminus off to that climax. This, by the way, is a rather straightforward crisis, much simpler than many of those that are ahead. To reduce it to its fundamentals, it is this. You are a planet suddenly cut off from the still civilized centers of the galaxy and threatened by your stronger neighbors. You are a small world of scientists surrounded by vast and rapidly expanding reaches of barbarism. You are an island of atomic power in a growing ocean of more primitive energy, but are helpless despite that because of your lack of metals. You see, then, that you are faced by hard necessity, and that action is forced on you. The nature of that action, that is, the solution to your dilemma, is, of course, obvious. The image of Harry Seldon reached into open air, and the book once more appeared in his hand. He opened it and said, "But whatever devious course your future history may take, impress it always upon your descendants that the path has been marked out, and that at its end is new and greater empire." And as his eyes bent to his book, he flicked into nothingness, and the lights brightened once more. Hardin looked up to see Peren facing him, eyes tragic and lips trembling. The chairman's voice was firm but toneless. "You were right, it seems. If you will see us tonight at 6, the board will consult with you as to the next move." They shook his hand, each one, and left. And Hardin smiled to himself. They were fundamentally sound at that, for they were scientists enough to admit that they were wrong. But for them, it was too late. He looked at his watch. By this time, it was all over. Lee's men were in control, and the board was giving orders no longer. The Anacreonians were landing their first spaceships tomorrow, but that was all right, too. In 6 months, they would be giving orders no longer. In fact, as Harry Seldon had said, and as Salver Hardin had guessed since the day that Anselm Haute Roderick had first revealed to him Anacreon's lack of atomic power, the solution to this first crisis was obvious. Obvious as all hell.